You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll learn about what happens behind the scenes when animals go into hibernation for the winter.
First, President-elect Trump talked a lot about boosting the American economy on the campaign trail. While he hasn't released all the specifics on how he'll try to do that just yet, the president-elect has some details of his tax plan and has talked about the future of the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Our next guest recently wrote about what Trump's win could mean for the average American's finances and looked at everything from housing to health care. Janelle Marte is financial reporter for The Washington Post. Janelle, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, what are some of the earliest effects that Donald Trump's economic policy could have on consumers?
So, of course, he talked a lot about lowering taxes, and this is something that he may try to bring through, especially as he begins to work more closely with the Republicans in control of Congress. And according to his early proposals, this would pretty much mean tax cuts for people at all income levels, but especially for people at the top. So, for example, according to the Tax Policy Center, they estimated that for the top earners, the top 0.1% of earners, that it would essentially equate to a 14% boost in their after-tax pay. But again, the big theme there being that if he has his way, we could see a simpler tax code, fewer tax rates, and lower taxes for many consumers.
And Donald Trump has also pledged to give the middle-class earners a break when it comes to taxes. How would middle-income couples, for instance, fare under his tax plan as we know it so far?
Yeah, so according to the Tax Policy Center again, they said that for the average consumer, their tax bill would be cut by about $3,000 next year, boosting their pay by roughly 4%.
And it sounds like there are some people who might not benefit quite as much, single parents, for instance. What happens there?
Right. So, again, in his early proposals, he did call for adjusting some of the credits that parents can take for their children, or even getting rid of the head of household filing status, which really tends to benefit single parents. But you have to keep in mind that in order to pass this kind of comprehensive tax reform, he will have to work with Congress. And there are some people who may say, hey, well, we need to balance this off a little bit to minimize essentially the government borrowing or what this could do to the government deficit. So, again, we don't know how much of this will go through. But you're right in that in the early versions, it might not be so good for single parents.
So to be clear, this does have to go through Congress. Anything could change, but it sounds like he has planned to eliminate the head of household option on taxes and also letting people write their children as dependents. So I guess that would change across the board, single parents or no.
True, yeah.
The last two, right. So looking at growth, now Donald Trump has said that this tax plan would engender growth and that the growth in the economy would lift all ships, make the financial outlook rosier for people. How might that work?
So I think one of the things that we saw that were actually surprised some people the day after the election results came in was that the markets rallied and they actually reached new highs over the next couple of days. So what that shows is that some people in the investing world are starting to think, hey, Donald Trump, if he has the support of the Republicans in Congress, he can actually pass laws, pass legislation, and maybe some of the infrastructure spending that he has been that he talked about during his campaign may become a reality. So think about it, more infrastructure spending that could lead to more jobs and that could, you know, overall help out the economy. A lot of these tax breaks that he's proposing, that's more money in consumers' pockets as well. However, that would have to be balanced with the fact that this could also mean more government spending. So what's going to change to make that a reality? We don't know yet. And so it's not clear what the final effects could be. But at least on these two fronts, it could be good for the economy in the near term.
Janelle Marte is with us right now. She's a reporter at The Washington Post covering personal finance, and she's with us now to talk about how President-elect Donald Trump's plans might affect your personal finances. And let's move to the Affordable Care Act. This is something that Republicans have been looking to roll back for quite a while now, and they'll have control of both chambers of Congress in addition to the office of the president. So what kinds of revisions do you think Americans could think about expecting to that health care law?
So this is one area where the day after, or just a few days after Trump won the election, we started to see him softening some of his language on how he would adjust the law. For instance, now he's saying that perhaps he would allow people to stay on their parents' plans until age 26, which is a very big part of the Affordable Care Act. He even said he might allow keep the ban on not the ban, but now under the law, insurance companies can't reject you if you have a pre-existing condition. He's now supporting that. But, it's unclear. We'll start to see more details as he works with Republicans, because they have said that this is a top thing on their list, that they want to either get rid of the Affordable Care Act or adjust it, scale back different components of it. And I think that we'll start to see him maybe softening some of his ideas to work more with what Republicans are in support of.
Do we know anything about the requirement for people to have insurance?
So I know in early versions he has said that he doesn't want, that under his version, he wouldn't require individuals to have insurance. So whether he'll have that support, or whether the Republicans in Congress will support that, I think it's not clear yet. They're sort of slowly adding more details to the transition website, and we'll know more as he continues to talk about this.
Looking at the market itself, we saw some fluctuations, especially during that last week of the race, but do we have an idea what we can expect from the market in the coming weeks, in the coming months?
So I think that more than anything, the election has shown that markets are truly unpredictable. Even though people thought they knew what to expect, like I said, on Wednesday morning, the day after the election, many of us were surprised. Everyone I talked to on Wall Street was surprised. They kind of thought that this would be viewed as a vote for uncertainty, that banks would, and investors would want to know more about what it is that Trump wants to accomplish. But actually, after he gave his acceptance speech, and so far he's sort of toned down a lot of what he said he would do. And I think the message now is like, hey, we might actually have someone in the White House who is pro-business. Here's a real estate developer. He has never had elected office, so maybe that's good for the economy, at least in the short term, especially some of the things we've been talking about, the tax cuts, the higher infrastructure spending. That could boost economic growth in the short run. But, we've also seen that people are selling bonds, and that's sort of raising rates on those bonds and lowering the prices. So it's sort of unclear how this will all shake out in the end. But, in the near term, at least, it's looking like higher interest rates and better tax, better returns in the market in the near term.
Janelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That was Janelle Marte. She's a reporter at The Washington Post covering personal finance, and she was with us there talking about how President-elect Donald Trump might affect your personal finances.